see each and everyone out tonight. We have just a little bit of reviewing in our study as we're going to be continuing into Acts 16th chapter. Very, very thankful for David's message tonight. We certainly appreciate him. Make sure you take time to speak with him and to thank him yourselves. As we are moving forward here together, we've talked about a little bit of this, and we're going to go jump back just a tad as we move forward. We've looked at and at least mentioned the separation that is about to take place between Barnabas and Paul as they go on this next missionary journey. Of course, there was a sharp disagreement whether they were going to take John Mark with them. And I try to look at things in a positive nature. They do separate. They do go different directions. But the good news is, when we think about it, the gospel gets to go in two different directions as well. And so more people are going to be able to hear the gospel. Barnabas took Mark and they went to Cyprus. Paul took Silas, went to Syria and Cilicia. They're going to meet a young man very soon, and he's going to go on this missionary trip with them. And in chapter 16, we're going to start seeing some different pronouns. The word we appears, keeping in mind that it is Luke who is writing this book. What could he mean? And we even had a question last week about some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, like why would Timothy have to be circumcised? Well, let's look here for just a moment. First of all, we understand that Paul comes to Derbe in Lystra. He meets this young disciple. We don't know how young he was. I've heard different things through the years, and I think it's just guesstimation at the best. But we do know that his mother seems to have been a Jew. His father was a Greek. There's a mixed marriage here. And we also understand that this young man is going to be taken and circumcised. But before we go any further, though, let's take a few moments here and look at what Paul said later on in his writings. In your Bibles, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. Over here, we read this beautiful passage. It's absolutely a wonderful passage. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Talking about Timothy. It's not fake. It's not veneer. It's not put on. He's reminded of his sincere, true blue faith, is what we might say today. Very sincere. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, who? Your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And now, I am sure that dwells in you also. I think we all know this. Hey, anybody in this room a perfect parent? I tell you, I'm not. I was not a perfect parent. My kids probably got spanked for things they didn't deserve, but they probably deserved it, and I just didn't know about it. But they did get, they got disciplined, just like I did. But when we look at the Bible, think about the influence. Fathers are to what? Not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the instruction, in the admonition of the Lord. Fathers got an important job. Yeah, they do. And, you know, mothers as well. Look at what the proverb writer says here. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. That's very important. I'll tell you, I've said this before. I was off trying to save the world, you know. Hey, Brother Staggs, can you come and hold this meeting, you know? And I'm off. Guess who was home with the kids? Yeah. She did probably more work with my kids than I did because I was gone all the time. And so we understand and we need to respect, love our mamas. We always do. But the grandparents, did you see his grandmothers listed in this verse? Think about the influence you have on your kids right now. Your grandkids. This is kind of funny. You have your phone on? No, you don't. This young man was watching Good Pasture a few moments ago, their baseball. And you had a grandson to play with there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Not right now,
but you did. But you know what? You think granddaddy influenced that young man? Bet he did. And there's a lot of influence that we have that we might not even think about. Any comments before we move forward? Always influence our kids and our grandkids. I want to say, or I want to ask, I don't know if anyone would dare to do this. Does anybody have three generations of Christians, at least three generations in their family? Like, you're a Christian, your mama was a Christian, your kids. Tell me about that. Tell me about your family.
Well, it's not perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
Not all of them are.
Right.
But they were raised in the church. I was raised in the church.
Yeah.
And I was raised with, you know, all these people here, especially the Stacy women over there. Yeah. You know, some of them. But they were baptized. And but you can't control what happens.
That's right. That's right. But the influence of having those generations, right? How about you guys? You guys were raised with generational differences.
And Randy was a booger. I don't
want to. Oh, man. you know him for what he is, don't you? Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. They're younger than you. Yes, sister.
In my family, it goes back at least to my great-grandparents.
Oh, wow. But you influenced them. You know what? You guys taught them. So they're still in church somewhere. Not that we might like that or not, but they still have God in their thinking and in their lives. Yeah. I understand. But the good news is, people who are raised like that, I think there's a tendency, Rick, to come back. I really do. I do. We just got to be patient. We've got to keep working. But there seems to be a tendency for at least those people to. My Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie knew what he needed to do before he got sick, you know? And it took the sickness to cause him to return. We don't know what that thing would be, maybe for me or for you. Maybe it would be sickness or the death of a loved one or something. But yeah, there's just that influence there. Thank you for sharing that with me. Anybody else? Yeah.
My grandfather was an elder at Hillsborough Church of Christ.
Yeah.
And then my parents were members here. I was baptized right up in there.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time in the cry room.
Well,
but you're right about the coming back. You know, yep. Raise a child in the way of the Lord. He will not, and he will return to it, or whatever the scripture says. That's why I came back. And I'll say one more thing about that. I've been in a lot of churches, and this church is the same exact church that I grew up in. Reading the word, no instruments, all the ordinances, it's the same baptistry, everything is the same.
That's the way it should be.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Jude? So my son was home from Freed recently sick, and I don't know, we were talking, and I was in Alabama, in Moulton, Alabama, preaching, and my wife had a baby. I told her she couldn't have it on Sunday or Wednesday. All of our kids are Sunday or Wednesday. Everyone. And so I finished my sermon, I packed my office, and we have to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We have to be in Kentucky. I'd speak, and then we'll start working in Kentucky with the church there. And the funny thing is, Judith just had a baby. The poor child is moving with the baby the very next day. And Gabe was talking about that, and I said, well, maybe you need to be preaching. I don't think he went for it too much, Rick. He said, I'd rather eat. So I think he's going to continue with the whole medical deal. Yeah, brother. Isn't that neat?
Yeah. And Brother Ira North,
But it was your wife, right?
Yeah. But the thing was, I did a lot of stupid things way back.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But someone has chosen to dig them up. And the things they're digging up are way better. Why do you change that?
Yeah. But you know what, though?
But I repented of it years ago.
I don't know anybody who doesn't do, especially guys sometimes. Not saying women don't, but guys do a lot of stupid things. They do. Yeah, your family, they didn't go to Madison. They went over at?
Jackson Park.
So you've got generations in your family as well. Yeah. Here's my point. Number one, I just want to say this for all you folks who used to go to Madison. Can you think about how many millions probably of people have been touched by the gospel because of that church? Can you think? It's just one person touching another, touching another, touching another. And it's just amazing. Think about who you come in contact with. Just being a part of this, we're a small church family, but we're trying to be strong and we're always faithful. So this church family, think about who we're touching even now. But the point being is one generation to another, to another, to another. And it doesn't always work out that way. But a lot of times, right here is living proof of somebody who comes back. Or my uncle, Charlie. Let's move on here real quick. Any other comments?
Yeah, just one.
Yeah, please.
When Francis and I got married, I finally talked her into it.
Yeah.
Brother North did our wedding. We were just had a little wedding.
Yeah.
I took Francis downtown, bought her a dress at Jackson House.
Yeah.
I had the only suit I had.
Oh.
He said, well, oh, I've got another wedding upstairs after this one.
Oh. After
it was over, and he was sitting there and eating cake and talking to my family and everything, and I said, well, no, did you say it was 8 o'clock? You're supposed to be there. It's already 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll wait.
If they want to get married, they're going to wait.
It was so special.
Yeah. I was thinking, Tom has he officiate at a wedding? In Kentucky. And I was thinking about this. He might have to get something in that state now. I think the laws might have changed. So we'll look that up. But I was thinking about that. But think even that. I think, how many of you know, I mean, not to get off topic because we're already off topic. How many of you know that a woman who's led her husband to Christ because they got married? Every one of us. normally the strongest part of the church, and we might not want to admit it, would be female. Just the influence that comes by marriage and falling in love. And then you learn to fall in love with Jesus. So it's just a great thing. Timothy's father, though, it was clear that Timothy had a great reputation. He was spoken of well. Now, the Greek word for him, when it talks about this young man, let's read chapter 16, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was Greek. And it is interesting, you got the mother mentioned by Paul in when he's writing 2 Timothy. And you've got the grandmother, but just nothing said about the father. It bothers me because nothing's ever said about the father having faith, but it doesn't look like, at least scripturally, that he's mentioned if he did. But the word here that is used for this young man is a word, when it says well spoken of by, or well spoken of, is a word that means continuous witness. He had a continuous witness. It wasn't like on Sunday morning was he faithful. It was they knew he was a good man on Monday morning. And they knew he had this continuous witness. Now, he wasn't circumcised. And when we asked the question last week, why would Paul want to circumcise him if he doesn't have to do it to be saved? What do you think? Anybody give any thought to that?
Everybody knew he was Greek. Timothy was Greek.
That's it right there. If you have a Greek father and a Jewish mother, or vice versa. You have a Jewish father, Greek mother. The family literally cut you off. You were dead to them, dead. And so if he's going to go out and he's going to be teaching other Jews, he has to have an influence. Now they know, for whatever reason, I won't make any comments. My wife once said it's because of my nose, but I won't make any comments about that. I redeemed myself with a good dinner out, and now I just ruined it, didn't I? Okay. But the bottom line here is our brother's right. He's got to have an influence in teaching other Jews. So, think about this with me. Anyone else? Over in the book of Galatians 2, verse 3 through 5, we read of Titus. Now, Titus is Greek, all right? Nothing is said about his family and the heritage of any kind of touching Judaism. We just know he's Greek. And the Bible says, but even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Now, that's vastly different than Timothy, isn't it? Verses 4 and following says, yet because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, back to Judaism. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And certainly, I think that we've already gotten the answer there. Brother Ashley of Bowles said it this way, and I like what he said. He says, Paul's work took him among Jews as well as Gentiles, and the Jews would have looked upon Timothy as an apostate had he not been circumcised. That's right. William Barclay, I don't know if you read Barclay. I like a lot of his commentaries, but I'm going to tell you, William Barclay sometimes is off the wall. In fact, he hasn't seen the wall sometimes. But he did make this this comment, which we've already made. You just couldn't do this. You could not marry someone who was not a Jew. And it just was unheard of. You were not accepted by your family. Now, after that being said, so we know that it has nothing at all to do with him being saved. It had to do with him preaching the gospel to other people. In your Bibles, everybody, turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. Because there are some good lessons here for us to think about what the Apostle Paul said about being all things to all people. Now, we're not saying we're going out and get circumcised or nothing, but this is a great passage for us to think about. Paul's a great example of this for us. Any comments? Let's look at the text. Here it says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without the law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save who? Some. And the last part of this, perhaps my favorite. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. You know, when he talks about eating meats and not eating meats, as it were, I'm going to tell you, it's a long, hard day. John, I'll tell you what. If you tell me I got to give up pork and pulled pork barbecue, forget it. You know, that's my thing. I like barbecue. You tell me I got to give up something like Brussels sprouts, I'm there. All right? Broccoli, duh. I grow broccoli. I make myself eat it. Something like that, right? The thing here is Paul is pointing out that there are different people we're going to come in contact with. You know, when we come in contact with them, they may not be like you and I. There's somebody you can reach with the gospel. I'll never be able to do it. And there's this kid in over in Houston. Well, he's not a kid. He's my age. But they do have a younger minister there as well. And the older minister gets up in the pulpit like me. He's got a suit on, right? The younger minister gets up. He's got a shirt untucked. He's got tennis shoes on, wears jeans in the pulpit. He's got his hair pulled back in a bun, and he's still preaching the gospel. Now, I don't like the hair, and I'd love to cut it off, but he still does a good job, you know? It's not what we would do here in Middle Tennessee, but the point is, he's reaching the young people like crazy in Houston because he looks like them. I don't have to like it, but he does a great job. And he's a good young preacher. And we've got to be proud of the work he's doing because he's doing everything he can for Christ and just taking the gospel to whom he can take the gospel to. But as we move forward here, we're going to come now to one of my favorite sections in all the book of Acts. In the 16th chapter, when we start looking at that whole Macedonian call, would somebody help me out with some reading tonight a little bit? Randy, would you take verse 4 through 8? Acts 16, brother. And I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but Rick, would you take verse 8 through 12 for us? Thank you.
As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Tyre, Pariah, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into, but the Spirit did not permit them. More?
To verse 8.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good.
So in passing Mysia, they came to Troas. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas.
Good, thank you. That's not an easy one to read. Don't hate me. Thank you, brother. Go ahead. Verse 8.
Where do I end?
Start in 8 for us, please. Go to 12.
12. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days.
Let's start with the first thing. The first thing is, as they go, remember that letter they had? They take that letter, they're sharing it with people. You don't have to become a Jew, all right? Even though Timothy is circumcised, so that he would be accepted by the Jews, not for him to be saved. The second thing here, as we see this trip that they're going on, you remember at the beginning, Paul was just going to go back through the churches he'd already went to strengthen them and encourage them. Well, God had another plan. So he's going to have them go to where they really weren't going to go. And now they're going to go into Macedonia. And we have what we all sing about from time to time and talk about, the Macedonian call. This is the New King James. It says, and they went through the region of Perga and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and they had come up to Mysia. They attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of who? I really want you to look at that. The Spirit of who?
Jesus.
But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now, all three of the Godhead work together, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in this case, they're being forbidden to go where they would like to go. So they're passing by Mysia. They went down to Troas, And as we look further in the text, here's a map that I know you guys in the back, forgive me, it's hard to see this crazy thing. So we're going to come back to this when we really want to look at it next week. But let's see a few things. The first thing is, as they're making the trip, this is actually close to Ephesus, okay? We're going to look at this at Perga. One of the things that you have here is one of the most well-known places in that area, and this is this church that has been hewed out of the stone over there. If you go to Ephesus today, and maybe you take a cruise in Greece, I don't know if you guys ever see these things. Did you ever go on those cruises? Yeah, they're pretty cool, aren't they? So these girls have actually seen some of this. This is one of those things that's right there in that area. And here's another picture of some of the ruins in the region. And here's one of my favorite amphitheaters anywhere. I want you to notice down at the bottom, if you will, you see these little cubbyhole things? What happened in amphitheaters when they weren't used with thespians or actors? Do you remember? Do you know?
Gladiators?
Yeah, that's it exactly. And so you just see this beautiful theater, but this is Troas, or the ruins of Troas. This is also, I think, a beautiful picture, by the way. I've not been there. I would give anything to see this area. Just haven't had the blessed opportunity. And this gives you a little bit of idea here. We're going to see Assos, that's actually the same place as Troas, the whole vicinity there. And so this just gives us an idea of the area. It gives us an idea of the history. And it gives us now this ideal of God leading these people where he wants them to go. Verse 9 will say, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so they do. Any comments? Let's talk just a moment here. I'm going to back up one. So when we look at different areas, remember that Rome is in control. When you go into Greece, there are two sections of Greece. One of those sections is northern Greece, Macedonia. The other section of Greece, now these are provinces that Rome came up with the names, okay? So that's why we have this here. But southern Greece is Achaia. Ever heard of a place called Corinth? Okay, so that's how it's divided. By the Romans. Again, when we look at everything in our Bibles, we certainly see plenty of proof of everything that we see on maps, we see through history. But in submission to God's will, they're going to go to Macedonia. And verse number 10 is where we start to see that pronoun, we. I cannot tell you, I'm probably a freshman in college before I realized that the word we was there. Now, I'd been in 101 Bible classes growing up, you know, about the missionary journeys. And I don't know what your opinion is, but if Luke is writing this and says, we, it seems to me that Luke now is going on this trip. So think about the gospel preachers on this trip. You got Paul, you got Silas, you got Luke, you got a young evangelist by the name of who? Timothy, who's learning from these older guys, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? They didn't get to go to David Lipscomb or something like that back then. They had older preachers who were there, they were supposed to learn from. And so certainly it's a cool section here that we're going into. Any comments? If you'll bear with me. Yes, please. Yeah.
You were talking about the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Thank you.
When we think about the Godhead, they never disagree. So what the Father wants is what the Son wants is what the Spirit's going to reveal, what they're all going to have. And so it's coming out here as well. We do have the mention of Christ here, the Jesus, which I point out every time. I don't know of any greater significance than to say that all of the Godhead was working together here on this trip. If they're going where they want, God wants them to go. They're going to be forbid to go into Spain. And I've always wondered, why? Why not? And why not on into Asia, you know, in different areas? Because they're touching Asia. And yet, the bottom line is, how about your life? Woody?
Yeah.
Did you expect to become a Christian when you were 15? Probably not. God had another plan. You met your wife. The door opened, and you obeyed, right? You know, reluctantly, no, finally, yeah. But, yeah, I do. That's a good thing, though. We never think about how much God has put in to see us saved. I've thought time and again, more than anything, I wanted to serve our country. More than anything. I go to Knoxville for my induction into the Army, and I can't hear. Broke my heart. Totally destroyed me. The next week, I got this little letter from a college about being accepted. And I've never looked back. I was dating, I can't believe I'm going to say this in front of the whole Lord's people, my wife's best friend. She and I didn't get along. Took this young lady for a walk one night, and we walked to where all the kids would go and kiss. It's dark down there, by the way. And there could be an alligator down there, so women can get really scared. You have to bring that up. And I said, hey, you want to go down here and sit? You know what she said to me? No. She kept right on walking. And I said, I'm marrying that girl. And I did. And you know what? I have three great sons. I have great grandchildren. I have a wife who serves and loves the Lord and will kick me in the backside when I do stupid things. And we all need somebody like that. Well, our time's gone. Years ago, there was a baptism about to take place in Orlando. And there was I may have told you this, but it's my favorite story. So I'm going to share it with you because I hope this makes the point of what we're going to now end with. She was sitting down front with her mama. They didn't have a father. She didn't have a father. And little girl, little curls, and somebody came forward and they were going to be baptized. We took the confession of faith. The brother's crying. They're not yet brother, but he would become our brother. And I hear out of side, because I could hear then and I could see. And she's, Mama, what's going on? And her mother said, well, the only way she knew to explain to this little girl is, well, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to wash him of all his sins. She jumps off the pew, and she claps her little hands together and says, oh, goody, I've been waiting to meet that man. You know, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Isn't that why we're here? We're all waiting to meet that man. And we've got one generation who shared the gospel with us and another, and we're here tonight because of what other people have done for us. I don't deserve to be here, I know that. But someday we're going to see that man. John, would you lead us into closing prayer?